Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. And I have a very special guest today. I think you're going to find his story absolutely inspiring, fascinating, and possibly life-saving. His name is Freddie Kimmel, and he is the host of the Beautifully Broken podcast, which I was on, I think it was last week. And he's an amazing interview. He's an amazing storyteller, and he's really doing work in the world that is so needed right now. That's transformational in people's lives. So, Freddie, welcome.
Oh, what a pleasure. What a nice intro. That really sparked my energetic field up.
Good. That's awesome. That's awesome. You've got this incredible story, man. Like, I find it very fascinating when somebody has major health challenges in life, probably because I had one myself for 30 years with a very severely injured back and a lot of pain. In how people overcome that and heal themselves and go on this road to healing. Mm. So could you just dive in with what is this story? What happened? What were you doing? What brought all this about?
Yeah. You know, I've gotten into the art of telling this story in this condensed version. And, you know, I'm sure like you, it, as much as I do appreciate what I've been through, I don't always want to identify with the story.
Totally.
So I try to, when I recreate this, I try to make it an experience for myself that's enjoyable. So I'm going to jump right in. You know, I moved to New York City a month after September 11th.
Wow.
And when I'll never forget driving into Manhattan and the sky was a sea of helicopters and the southern tip of Manhattan was smoking, and I was going to New York to be a Broadway actor. That's what I wanted to do. And I set down my stuff. I quickly started to realize their Broadway was closed. There were no jobs. Auditions weren't happening. So I moved to the city with $386. I'll never forget looking at my bank account. Slept on the floor of an apartment, and I'd go out to work every day. And being around the people who had been through this tragedy, my body was soaking up that energy. I didn't realize it at the time, but I learned I was an empath. So I'd come home after looking for a job, looking for work, thinking about what I was going to do to make it in this field. And I would lay in the shower and I would just cry. I'm not an emotionally expressive person. This is not my skill set. I would just download. I would sit in the shower till the water was cold and just cry and cry and cry. And I just kept doing this. One morning I woke up with this debilitating joint pain. And I mean, like, I could barely close my hands to hold a cup of coffee. My knees were like watermelons. And it's so funny. I think back, I was 23 years old, and my solution was to ignore it and press on. So I just started eating Advil. I upregulated, went to see some doctors. They looked at my blood, didn't find anything special. No, there was nothing, no rheumatoid arthritis, no infections. You know, I was given some higher level painkillers, but you know, I basically pushed through that way. And amazingly enough, so this speaks to, like, I do have this genetic superpower for perseverance. So in this time, I'm booking shows. I got my union card. I booked my first audition, a Broadway national tour of Annie, Get Your Gun. I started to really just apply myself. And I loved what I did. I love storytelling. I love song and dance. And when I'm 26 years old, I've just booked like my first like Broadway, pre-Broadway production at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. So I'm so excited. At the same time, I had found a tumor on my left testicle. And I remember being in a dressing room of all these other actors. We're all joking around. I'm like, you know, is this normal? Does anybody else, do you know what a testicle feels like? Because I was like, to be honest with you, like, you know, if you've ever like really like felt a testicle, you know, there's like a tube in the top. There's a bump on the bottom. This is new for all your listeners. Maybe, maybe you're not.
It feels weird. It just feels weird.
It feels weird. So I remember I went to a doctor and I said, you know, I just want to get this checked out. I want to do my due diligence, which I was proud of myself as because I'm not a doctor person. And I remember him saying, you know, he's like, you're in a lot of pain, right? I'm like, yeah, it's painful. He's like, it's probably an infection. Cancer doesn't hurt. It's just a normal cell growing fast. So don't worry about cancer or anything like that. So I took that as my free pass. I waited 3 months. And obviously the pain started to get worse and worse and worse until one morning I woke up, I could barely stand. I couldn't stand upright. Now I'm in a show, I'm still performing 8 times a week. I'm pushing through, still have the arthritis pain, the chronic inflammation. I'm eating Advil like candy. And I ended up going to an emergency room and test after test after test. I'm in there 5-6 hours. And now, so I'm sitting in a room and, eventually they moved me into oncology and I pass out on this table. This is a crazy diagnosis story. And all of a sudden I hear the door open and a doctor comes in followed by all these practitioners and med students. There's like 8 people in the room. And this guy looks at me in the eye and he turns his back to me and he says, this is a male with advanced testicular cancer that has metastasized and that's why he's experiencing this level of pain. Nobody's talked to me. And when I say the sound went out of the room, do you know how you're like at a loud summer party and someone pushes you in the pool, it's screaming in music, and then all of a sudden it's like, the sound leaves the room. Silence. And I just, the room started spinning and turning. And I was, you know, 26 years old. I'm trying to even cope or understand. Or he just said, cancer, metastatic, testicular. You know, I'm freaking out. And I just remember screaming, everybody get out of the room. Everybody's out. And this doctor, he tried to tell me, I could not hear him. I'm sweating profusely. He's telling me that I'm having pain because it's probably moved to organs and I don't have health insurance. He thinks he can get me in because I came in through an emergency surgery. We can immediately go in and cut out as much cancer as we can. And then I can go to try to find some type of medical coverage to take care of the aftermath. This is within 2 minutes of saying, this guy's got a serious problem. So I go into complete panic mode. I run down the hall. I try to call my dad. I pick up the phone to call my dad and I get that ding, dong, ding. You have not paid your cell phone service, so we've turned it off. And I just took a deep breath. I love to plug this. I called AT&T. One day AT&T's got to sponsor me. I got an operator on the phone. I said, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. I have like $125 in my account. Can't pay my phone bill. I got to call my dad. And literally in a minute, this woman's like, your phone's on. And I hung up the phone.
Well, they turned it on.
Awesome. They turned it on.
That's a blessing right there.
A blessing right there. So I get on a plane and I'm gonna move through this. When I got on a plane, my dad just was like, fly home. I get into University of Rochester Strong Medical Center. I go for the proper scans. They look at the body. They scan my brain to see if it's metastatic to the brain. I wake up in the morning. My whole family's around me and I have a doctor standing there. A wonderful, wonderful urologist, Dr. Palapattu, Ganesh Palapattu, amazing, amazing, amazing doctor. And he says, listen, you're filled with cancer. You got about 9 tumors, one wrapped around the aorta, go into your heart, your left kidney. What we're going to do is we're going to take out the primary tumor. We're going to put you on as much chemo as we can do. Hopefully that takes care of it. If not, we're going to do a surgery where we cut from your sternum to your pelvis. Take out all your organs, take out all the cancer, put everything back in, staple you back up, and send you on your merry way. So that happened over 6 months.
Get out.
That happened over 6 months. The whole thing. It happened exactly like he said. And, you know, I got through it, you know, had a unbelievable experience in intensive care. You know, it was going to be in and out in 3 days. That turned into 12 days, no food, no water, no nothing, laying in a bed. 26 years old, watching people come in and out of the hospital room. I can't shower. I can't walk. I can't go to the bathroom. But, you know, I have this picture I should send you this picture. I have the picture of me standing with like the tree of infusions and drugs. It's just like a Christmas tree. I got like 8 bags on this thing and I'm dragging it around trying to slowly like walk again and just, you know, engage some muscles. And, you know, I would have my mom. I never forgot. I had these moments of like, it was like a time warp. People would walk into the hospital room with a cup of coffee and I would look at that and I would be like, oh my God, I cannot wait to be able to stand and have a sip of coffee and walk in and out of a room and socialize. And I'm not strapped to all these tubes. And can you imagine what it would be like? And every television show I'd watch, I'm trying to think of the sitcom. He's always having chocolate milk. And I just remembered like every food that was like in the show was like not being able to eat for like, you know, a week and a half is incredible. So I just, it was like, I had this, all these sparks of gratitude. So I'm jumping forward, you know, I'm deemed cancer free and I get back to New York and, you know, I feel pretty good. And I'm really geared up. I got my job back at my part-time gig. I used to sing at a singing waiter place in Times Square called Ellen's Stardust Diner, really famous.
How long did it take you to heal from the surgery to get back to work?
Oh, goodness. You know, I'm probably out of surgery the end of March, and I'm back in the city in July.
Wow.
I'm back in the city in July. I'm taking dance classes in July. I'm back in tap class. I'm back in ballet. I'm back serving tables. Now, I'm doing it, but if I'm up for a day, I'm in bed for a day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking 5-6 naps a day. I definitely pushed it going back. I just wanted to get over it. I wanted to forget about everything that happened. And, you know, and it started to, I started to have these little glimpses. I booked a show again. You know, I got back in a show with, and I was back in a show in the fall. You know, dancing in ensemble. However, you know, along with this, remember we mentioned I had this chronic pain situation. Never really dealt with that, but it had really subsided with the cancer and the chemo. So I started to have these flashes of this horrible chronic pain, horrible joint pain. I mean, my Achilles tendons, the bottoms of my feet. I mean, my hands, the joints of my hands. I mean, a level, it's a 10 out of 10. So I'm falling back into this pattern of having painkillers. So knowing that my body had given me signals and I had not listened to it before, I'm sort of trying to like, I'm moving into the space where I got to start listening. So what I do is I change my food. I'm basically eating the standard American diet. You know, I'm the guy who went to chemotherapy. I'm grabbing double egg McMuffins with a double hash brown and the OJ on the way to chemo. This is me, right?
Right.
I just didn't, you know, and I'm a fit dude. I'm 26. I'm at that point, it was the best shape I was ever in my life. I had like an 8-pack. Yeah. I was actually in the show called The Full Monty. So I had to have this, you know, I had to have this persona and as also as a dancer, but you know, you're just moving and grooving. You're in great shape. So I'm trying to tap in and listen to my body. So the first thing I did, I changed all the food I ate. I just went to a whole foods diet. You know, anything that was a living organism. So if it's in a box, if it's been processed, I'm not eating it.
Gotcha.
And I had like this 70% reduction in pain in like 2.5 weeks, which blew my mind without changing any meds, anything. So I've got a little proof there and the proof. So I started to just kind of go down this rabbit hole of what it means to be well, what it means to, you know, honor your body as a temple, a pyramid. And I'm finding success here and there. You know, I book another, I booked the national tour of Billy Elliot, you know, the Broadway show of Billy Elliot. I'm traveling all over the country. You know, we went to like 8 or 9 cities with the show. And right after that job, I have the situation where I'm standing in a grocery store. I think I was working out. I go to a grocery store, eat a meal, and all of a sudden I'm taken to the floor. I'm taken to the floor with like my gut twists, level 10 pain, my small intestine twists, and it won't unravel. It's called a small bowel obstruction, complete obstruction. And when I say pain, it's like no pain I'd ever experienced in my life. Like I want to die. I can't breathe. Blackout level pain. So I make it to, my friend drives me to the emergency room. I sit in the hospital for a day and a half on morphine. They give me all these scans. There's no cancer, but this small intestine won't unravel. So they go in and they do an emergency surgery where they open back up the whole tummy scar that I've already had cut open once. They take out a foot of small bowel and they button me back up. And I want to say this was like where it starts to get really good. And this is where it really starts to go south, if you can believe it. I never recovered from that surgery. I experienced what's people will call chronic fatigue syndrome. Can't get out of bed. I would 2 weeks after the surgery, I experienced a level of fatigue and tiredness that I would look at my shoes and have such brain fog. I would hold the laces and I know I wanted to tie my shoes, but I didn't remember what happened first. And I would sit there for 60 seconds. And I remember doing that one time and I said, something's really wrong with my body. And I started to get really scared. You know, I tried to go to the subway to just go for a walk. I'd make it to the subway. I'd sit on a park bench for 40 minutes. I'd walk right back to my apartment and lay down. And my body was just, you know, looking back at it, my body was shutting down. It's too much trauma. Didn't have a way to process it. Wasn't brought up with the skills to process it. No fault about anybody's. This is not pointed at anyone. This is my right. coping mechanism. And the body just started to shut down. And I just started to go down this rabbit hole of, I'm like, I got to figure this out. So I went to every functional medicine doctor I could find in New York City, traveled over to different parts of the country. I tried acupuncture, chiropractic, functional medicine. You know, everybody had a theory of, you know, I found that I had Lyme disease, you know, and then for 4 months I'm chasing Lyme disease. So I'm going to do every herb and I'm going to do all these extracellular modalities. I'm going to do ozone therapy. I'm going to do hyperbaric chamber sessions. I'm going to do vitamin IVs. You know, I'd find little bits of movement, but this fatigue never would leave me like a plague. And with fatigue comes incredible depression because you don't have the energy. You don't have the spark to fire your brain, your thoughts, your words, word recall. Right. To not have your words is such an awful place to be. Man, to not be able to express yourself and be living like there's this rock on your body. So I just kept digging and digging and digging. And finally, you know, I'd found things where I got movement. You know, I found that eating, for me, more of a fat-based diet, a ketogenic diet, really laying off the carbs, I started to get brain function back. You know, I found things like ozone therapy that I did. I went and saw a doctor in New York City where they actually inject you with ozone gas. Ozone is an O3 molecule. So there's an extra molecule of ozone. When it hits a bacteria or a virus, that O3 splits, you oxygenate the blood, and you help neutralize a pathogen. Started to feel better from these treatments. Did like 10 [S2] Right. [S1] Or 12. Eventually I said, you know, it's very expensive. You know, keep in mind, we'll go back to the financial piece. Freddie, how are you supporting yourself through all this?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
How are you affording this? Yeah, so I'm finding a little ground with this. And every time I'd find something that a doctor taught me to do or that he was charged to be $300 a session for, I would look at the equipment and I'd say to myself, can I do that at home? And most of the time, 99% of the time, I said, yeah. Yeah, can I get a $300 vitamin IV? Yep. Do I think I could venipuncture myself and mix an IV based off ingredients I bought off the internet? Yes, I can also do that for about $40 an IV. Do I think I can buy an ozone machine and get myself the same treatment? There's many different ways you can work with your body in this way. Yes, I can also do that. Can I get an infrared sauna at home? Yes. You know, so I started to really put together all these pieces of the puzzle and I'm experiencing gains. I'm starting to talk about it more and more. And I have to say, I'm going to bring it home. And then I want to go back to that financial piece. You know, I'm slowly accumulating this vitality in my body where I'm starting to feel good. I'm starting to share information, really passionate about health. You know, I'm back. This whole time I am in shows. Really never stopped working for more than a year. The biggest chunk of, yeah. Yeah. Amazingly enough, you know, my other super skill is hiding the pain and putting on a happy face and acting through the pain. You know, that's a superpower. That's probably why I was long-term chronic illness. And eventually, you know, I got to a place and like, you know, I had other things that, you know, I saved up enough money to buy an apartment and I bought an apartment with floor to ceiling black mold. If you know anything about black mold, it's quoted in the Bible. When you have a moldy home, you burn it and you leave the campus. That's what they say in the Bible. You leave it because there is no cure for black mold. So I kept experiencing these. Is my life always going to be this series of dramatic experiences? You know, I had another surgery in 2015. They go into my belly, start slicing out scar tissue so the bowel won't twist again. You know, this is while I'm in Phantom of the Opera. You know, I managed to do four months of the show, jump in and do a surgery, recover for 2 months. Then I'm back in a show in New York called Cagney the Musical. I'm starring in Cagney, this is standby for the lead of the show. So I'm always navigating these things. And I remember being in my apartment. I had this moment of clarity and I said, I don't need to bear this cross of dramatic health episodes in my life anymore. And I had a moment where I set it down. You know, how do you let go of the pen? You set it down.
Yeah.
And I sort of set it down. As funny as that sounds. And I happened across this technology that was talking about all the things I did. You know, all the things I just framed are all about raising your vibration. It's all about increasing energy. And I came across this technology that was using sound therapy and magnetic fields to increase the body's energy. And I saw one online. I listened to a podcast about it and I bought it. $10,000 at the time. Put it on a credit card, 10 grand, because I listened to how it was described, how we could work with the body's energetic systems, that disease is downstream of the energetic pattern. And I had always believed this, that chronic illness takes a long time to manifest. We don't get cancer overnight. It's a long process. We can discuss all the theories of that. So I started to work with this technology. And within 3 months, 4 months, I started to have these days where I was jumping out of bed. I mean, my brain was like 16 years old. Hadn't happened since I was sick. My digestion started to get better. I started to have these, you know, I was at a place with Lyme and chronic mold. Many people that go through this, I could eat like 8 foods without getting these severe reactions. Inflammatory episodes where my fingers would swell up like, you know, sausages.
Okay.
Or horrible, horrible digestive symptoms. And these started to shift and change, you know. So I was so amazed that, you know, we could work with the energetic body. It couldn't all be based on the supplements or the physical. You know, there's programs in here for mindset and the energetic body. So I really started to use this tech with all the other things I was doing. And this sort of brings me to the last year and a half. You know, I launched my own podcast called The Beautifully Broken Podcast. We talk about all the things that I went through, what worked, what didn't work. You know, I became a leadership member of this technology company that I'm now working with, you know, that I'm on the board. You know, I run sales and marketing and product development and less product development, more user experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a coaching practice. You know, I'm completely self-sustained. I paid off all my medical debt. I have no debt. And I managed to get through this just by, you know, it was me creating a new human experience operating guide. It's like, what's important? What do we value? And if I look back before Sick Freddy, my values were not only were they not in the right alignment, there were none. I just said, like, you know, nobody had talked to me about creating core beliefs and values and intention and, like, you know, what a valuable skill set to learn. Now, I learned all these things through the pain, you know, and I put them together. And now I sort of do. I have an operating manual. You know, I have a level of energy and engagement that I expect of myself. And I know when I'm in the pocket. I know when I feel really good. I know what I have to do when things start to, when I feel off, when I wake up and I'm just not ready to, like, jump out of the gate. I know I've got to adjust things like sleep and water and light and food. And, you know, I really believe it's like this, you can look at germ theory. We can eliminate the bad guys in the sandbox, the bad viruses, the bad bacteria, or we look at the bioterrain theory. You know, we look at the body as a garden. You know, when you have a fish tank, you know, you don't, and you have sick fish, they treat the water. They add oxygen. They work at the pH of the water. They add sunlight. You know, same thing with a crop. The farmer doesn't focus on the stalk of corn rising from the earth. They treat the soil. So I think it's funny. I learned this myself, but I look at the soil. I look at the bioterrain. I look at like, what's the environment from which Freddie is trying to thrive out of? And am I optimizing that? So that is the story, David.
That is such an incredible story. Like I wasn't breathing when you were telling most of it. Like, oh my God. So let me go into this a little bit.
Yeah. Let's unpack it. That's a lot.
When that doctor came in and said cancer and you started freaking out, what between then and when you actually started to work on it, you know, have the surgeries and all that, how did you get through the fear? How did you find the will to live instead of giving up? Like, what was that process like?
Well, that process was it was one of the first moments when I realized how much I loved my life and how much purpose there was in my life. You know, the fact that I had booked a show at the Kennedy Center. And the Kennedy, you know, you have scales of theater. This is kind of fun. You know, when you're a professional actor in the world, you know, there's community theater that probably doesn't pay, might pay a little bit. And then you have regional theaters that, you know, you can make anywhere from between $300 a week and sometimes up to like $1,100 a week. And then you've got a production contract. So that's like Broadway, Kennedy Center, production tours. We can make almost $2,000 a week, you know, singing and dancing for a living. And so I'm starting to get into that pocket, right? And so booking some of these bigger shows, it was like there was so much excitement and joy about my life. I was so happy. I will never forget. Like those phone calls, booking those jobs, you're just like, I'm going to sing and dance. You're going to pay me a decent wage, which let's talk about the underappreciated wage of an actor. That's a whole show. Yeah. But I was so happy. And when I came into that experience of being told, you have cancer, life's stopping. You know, the first thing I asked my doctor, he told me the treatment regime in that first 10 minutes. What? I said, so I hear you, cancer, chemo, sounds bad. I've got a real big show I've booked. Starts in March. We're in November. If everything goes right with this whole cancer, these tumors, the chemo surgery, can I be dancing on a stage in March? To which he said, I think you should cancel your plans right now. You're not an actor right now. Wow. What you're going to focus your energy on is beating cancer. This is what you're doing. This is a redirect. And in that moment, David, I dropped it. I listened to him. I heard from the vibration of the voice. I had a great doctor. Great doctor. Like, he's one of the best in the world. I just listened to what he told me. My body heard it. I heard it. And I said, okay, I'm going to do the whole cancer thing with the same intensity and passion and will to live that I did the theater thing. And that's what I did. I just set it down. I set down, like, I was like, I can put this aside and I'm going to attack this. And that's how I did it. You know, through my whole thing, you know, I just, lot of focusing on the joy in life. You know, even when, now I didn't know a lot about health and wellness. I thought I did. At that time, but even at that time, I thought it was really important that I go to the gym and be strong. That was kind of my health thing through chemotherapy. They said not to go to the gym. They said, you have no immune system. Don't go to the gym. It's a dirty, dirty place.
Yeah.
But I would go to the gym. You know, I would go to the gym and I would walk on the treadmill when I could just walk, even if it was for 10 minutes. I would go lift weights, you know, bald, white, look like E.T., I have some of these pictures of these kids. Everybody's like, you look great. And I was like, I look at these pictures like, I look like death. You know, it's not, you know, it's tough medicine. It is tough medicine for a reason. You know, it's very, very toxic. So I had this will to get back. The whole time I was going through cancer, I was like, can't wait to be back to the stage. Love that stage. Love my friends. You know, I'll part of the love of the theater is the not part, it's like 90%, it's the people.
Yeah.
You've never met dynamic, live, engaging, like, oh God, theater people, there's nothing like it. You know, you go to a show with someone for 4 months, they're your family forever.
Yeah.
Forever. People are like, oh, you have 4,000 Facebook friends. I'm like, they're actually real friends. It's not, they aren't like, oh, it's like Timmy who I met in like 2011 at the grocery store. It's real people. And this community is so strong. They were so supportive of me. So that was probably the fire, yeah, that got me through that.
When you were going through it, did you give the disease or the fact that you were actually going through fighting this, did you give it any kind of meaning? Were you searching for any kind of meaning? Why, you know, like people start to think, why me? What is this about? Did I do something wrong? How did I get this? Like, did all that stuff run through your mind and did you give it any meaning?
I had one moment coming home from the plane to the hospital, went right into surgery. I remember sitting on my brother's porch. I think it was one of two times that I cried through the whole experience. And I did have a why me. You know, I did have a moment of just sitting on a porch with my whole family and saying, shit, I really love my life and I really don't want cancer. I really, you know. And then like I said before, I kinda had that moment and then I just moved on with it. Through the cancer, through chemo, through the second surgery, through the third surgery, through the fourth, then I started to get into this, you know, 2015, when I'm looking at like surgery number five to go into my belly again, I started to have that. I started, am I here to experience disease? Is that why I'm here on the planet? I mean, this is sort of a joke. You know, at this point, I just, in 2015, I was in incredible pain. You know, for your listeners, you know, you do abdominal surgery, you touch a piece of intestine, you almost leave a fingerprint on it. And then the body starts to say, well, that part of the body needs help. Let's build some scaffolding so we can help you heal. So the body throws up this scaffolding, this collagen-like structure, and we get these adhesions in the belly. And you can almost think of like intestinal tissue as like spaghetti. It's spaghetti in a bag with like pasta sauce. You shake it around, it all moves around. That's how your guts move. Well, you get like pieces of sticky gum in there and all of a sudden the intestine don't move freely. And so when they twist, when you roll over out of bed and your intestine twists and it cuts itself off, you're in an emergency situation. So having that happen every day for 2 or 3 years in a row, being in like blackout pain or experiencing, you know, probably I would say between 2011, 2015, I probably spent 30 nights in the bathroom floor, you know, and you go into this, you vomit bile until the intestine release, you know, 8 to 12 hours. That's unbelievable. And I mean, blackout pain. So I, 2015, I really did have this like ultimate low depression. I had this low depression and I had that moment walking down 52nd Street. If anybody knows 52nd Street and 9th Avenue between 9th and 10th in New York City, there is a monastery there. And I'm walking down the street and I'm just like, why is this happening? You know, what do I do? Do I go get surgery again? I don't want to, I had a moment. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to live like this anymore. Not interested. Too much. Want to get off the ride. And I stopped and I said that and I looked to the left of me, it's snowing. And there's a statue of the Virgin Mary. Not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. I looked at this angelic statue collecting snow. And it was like the light shining down on this statue. And I looked at it. I was like, oh my God, beautiful, beautiful. And I sort of made a deal with that statue, whatever entity it represented. I just took a deep breath. I still remember the pain in my belly. I said, if I get through this, if I can set down this lesson, if I don't need to learn it again, maybe this is what I'm supposed to learn. I'm going to be a light for other people seeking a path through chronic illness, chronic pain disease. And I took a breath and I decided to do another surgery. And that was 2015. I've never had a surgery since. We're 2020.
Oh, congratulations. You know,
I had some little. And people, just the abdominal adhesions, which is a huge thing we don't have a solution for in the modern medical platform. There is no solution. I can't tell you. I wrote one blog on abdominal adhesions. I have a person crying, like wanting to end their life 2 or 3 times a year. They read that blog. They say, what did you do? Because I'm giving up. I had a surgery for a fallopian tube. fibroids. I had a surgery like you, and now I can't live. I can't eat food. I can't leave my house. So it's very common, just that alone. But I had this moment and I said, I'm going to be a light. And that's I started doing it. I started, you know, it's like the I am meditations or the I am your morning affirmations. You start talking to yourself and saying what you're going to do, what you're going to look for. And all of a sudden the universe throws you clues. You know, it's like, oh, here's an opportunity.
Yeah, the direction starts to show up. Sure.
You start to see it because I started asking different questions. You know, and I truly had to go through, another thing that's evolved, I'd say in the last 3 to 4 months that really, really starts presenting itself is that, you know, we hear this, it sounds cliche, or you're a human being having a human experience. I am in total acceptance of what comes. You know, if I have another year here, I accept the year. You know, really, what are we doing? Am I here to make and create a podcast for all time? No, because in the vast expansion of time, this is an experience we're all witness to. It's nothing staying. No buildings, no platforms, no programs, no religion, nothing. We're experiencing this experience. So like I'm choosing right now to connect with people on a different level with a different vibration. I'm choosing to be involved with this, my tech company, which I really believe in, which is saving people a lot of pain and heartache. So I'm accepting of what is, and even on a hospital bed, you can choose to be the reason somebody has restored faith in humanity. I was always waiting while I was really, really sick. This is like a regret, or I don't want to say regret, but I spent a lot of time dragging the people that were standing by me and supporting me down because I was so depressed. My energy was so low. So when you're chronic, it's tough. It's tough. And you can still be the reason somebody has restored faith in humanity. It can be the smile. It can be how you respond to someone. It can be thank yous. It can be touch. It can be how you breathe within the space of another person in a room. You know, I've watched this. I know you've seen this. You're in a room with somebody. It could be a business meeting. And someone could be so belabored and down and like victimized. And God, it's so hard. And they're waiting through this real tough period to get through. Then they're going to be like, well, when I'm on the other side of the challenge, then I can experience joy. Choose joy. Joy is a choice. So this is a lesson I've picked up, I've learned through all of this, you know, to take it back to your question.
You know, well, first of all, what you've done is really incredible. I mean, because it's a choice, it's a series of choices that you've made all through this. Everything is for the moment and in the moment, right? So it's about how are we looking at things right now instead of being attached to what could be or what might go wrong or what might go right in the future. And because I do think that steals a lot of people's joy. You know, they use their imagination in kind of a corrupt way and see things that they don't realize they're going to end up creating in the future if they don't change the way that they're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. What's your vision going forward? Like I realize that you're saying, you know, if it's a year, it's a year, if it's longer, whatever, but do you have a vision going forward, what you're going to do with this enlightenment that you have really stepped into about life and healing?
Yeah. You know, I really enjoy connecting with other human beings and sharing this information, especially when they've just started to get a little bit of the taste of the path. You know, they get excited and inspired about life again. I really enjoy connecting to other human beings. You know, I love talking to people. It's in the same thing. You know, I have sat down as of like 2018, 2019, I've sat down theater for now, singing, and I've kind of moved into this other entrepreneurial avenue. But I'm still taking that love of sitting into a dynamic storytelling situation. or sitting into, you know, it's so funny. Acting is not acting. It's not putting on a farce. It's being in the moment. When you can be in the moment on stage, and it's hard, it's so hard. You have all these things. You have fake lights, fake costumes. You got people watching you. When you can drop into that moment and be, it's a religious experience.
Yeah.
You know, you're done. You're gone. Freddie's gone. When you drop into it, you're like, did I sing all my words? Did I do all the steps I was supposed to do? Did I hit my notes? I don't. So it's scary sometimes. You can lose yourself in being. This is what meditation is. We have all these things. When you can lose yourself in the act of being, you don't have to sit down and breathe and meditate. You can lose yourself in just being so present in the experience. So I'm sort of taking that skill set that you develop, and I'm trying to be with people on the podcast. You know, be with people as I'm guiding them towards wellness and really listen. Really listen. You know, we have so many blockades that we create for ourselves as human beings. We're our own worst enemy. I look at, you know, and it's been a wonderful lesson that's shifted from theater to real time. And the idea that, you know, you can look at everybody around you on stage and be like, oh, the scene isn't magical because of like this person, I wish they sang better. I wish they hit their mark or delivered their line. They're so inconsistent. You know, but you have, it's a team sport. And I didn't know this because like, so I'm relatively new in the business world. I'm this entrepreneurial thing. And to look around your team, your core team, right? I'm like, I wish this person did this better. You know, I wish we could, you know, sub this person out. Or I wish I could have this product was built, but you know, that's all crap. You're gonna be with the experience you're at and the people in your immediate circle. You're gonna make it work or you're gonna quit. You're going to walk into another circle and you're going to get the same lesson plan. So
true.
It's all about being, how do we just be present? You know, just be so present. And so to answer your question, I'm interested about whatever it is that comes in the future, whether it's, you know, developing health and wellness tools to help people be present, be within their own body, whether it's being on stage. You know, I really see myself being on stage. I'd like to share this message. I think there's value in storytelling. My gift when I was real sick was podcasts. It was probably the time. Oh, I was so happy when I was listening to health and wellness podcasts. Tim Ferriss probably saved my life. You know, the early seasons of Bulletproof, Dave Asprey.
Yeah.
You know, modern. Now I'm into like, you know, Ben Greenfield. I really love Wendy Myers' detox podcasts. They're all fascinating to me. Learning how the body works as a system. You know, everybody that's worth their weight, they're going to talk about a systems approach to wellness. But these people really started to, you know, I got so inspired listening to a whole show on why, it's a dangerous road because you can get addicted to chasing wellness too. You know, and I definitely am guilty of that at some degree. But podcasts, you know, these really good storytellers. I love Tim Ferriss. You know, he just drops into it. And even Larry, I love listening to Larry King. It's like you're gone if you really drop into the vibration of that guy's voice, because he's just like, to follow his thoughts and the way he asks people questions, it was just my saving grace. So I love, you know, I love resonate with that art form. And I want to welcome more of that in. And I'm sure, you know, doing it live on stage, what's that adrenaline rush?
Right. Exactly.
When you got everybody in the palm of your hand and you're feeling, you know, they're, we can look at like Joe Dispenza's work. You know, you go to a live Joe Dispenza experience or a live meditation. It's so much more powerful than meditating by yourself.
Yeah.
Because there is the space even between me and you. It's all, there is no space.
Right.
There's ether, but there's energy in between there. This is why people can distance heal. This is why we can distance, you know, these amazing, amazing shamans. They can control and manifest energy and manipulate it. This is quantum field theory. You know, quantum physics, you have two particles come into contact and share a vibration. You know, you can separate them by distance. You can heat up one particle and the other heating particle, like 2 miles away, becomes heated. You know, this is why you experience a connection to partners we've shared large amounts of time with. When we know there's something wrong, we can kind of tap into the field and say, you know, you call that person. Why did you call me today? Why did you call me? I really needed to hear your voice today. Because when you can clear away the noise, right? And I know you know this because you've cleared away enough noise to find a thriving success in your field. And you just know. You know, whether you want to call it your superpower and you're tapped into the quantum field or whatever you want to do, you're tapped into the vibration of reality. So you have this yes button that you inherently have developed.
Exactly.
And so it's really easy to cultivate and bring that forward when we're connected. Real time, real circle, community circle, live events. It's so, you know, it's so powerful. That's why you're going to see, suicide rates when they start reporting them from this coronavirus experience skyrocket.
Yeah.
Depression. I mean, my friends are reaching out to me, incredibly depressed, lost. People that I know is very happy. People are telling me they don't have the will to live because of the isolation. It's not good for the human being. So,
yeah, I had somebody reach out to me from Singapore actually last night, who's in distress. I've never even met the person. They found me on Instagram. They don't know what to do. So, and I've heard all kinds of stories about what people are suffering with. It's really rough right now for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? One more question. How did you come up with the name The Beautifully Broken? Like, I thought that was so amazing.
Yeah. I sat down with a piece of paper and I started writing. You know, I started writing about what, you know, and believe me, coming up with a podcast or a reason to speak about wellness, I really struggled with the idea that, well, who am I to talk about it? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician. Who am I? You know, I didn't go to school for this. I went through it. That's it. You know, what do I know? And these incredible feelings, I remember trying to write down what I would do of like self-worth, you know, just really judging myself. And so on that piece of paper, I started to write out all the things that had happened to me, what I could speak about. And, you know, this is true. You know, we speak to what we know. I know what I don't know.
Yeah.
So I can really only speak to my experience. You know, my answers for health and wellness aren't going to be somebody else's. So I put down this list. I had this list of things that I had tried. And, you know, I could envision myself purchasing or trying each one or like, you know, coming up with a funding campaign to like, you know, buy this ozone machine, whatever it was. And I remember feeling so broken in the process. And it was always about putting the pieces back together with reverence and grace, which is what defined my experience, you know, because even if something didn't work, I was like, it sort of approached it with the inquisitive nature of a child, you know, a state of play.
Uh-huh.
Life's too short not to approach things without a state of play. Play, joy, you know, even if you fake a smile, if you lift the upper corners of your lip, your brain releases more serotonin. You can fake it till you make it, you know? So to, you know, to wind all that together, I started to look at the facts, like look at what you had been through, look at how broken you are. And the journey is the fun part. When I'm done, I'm done. The destination sucks. You know, when you're sitting in your home, your $1 billion home all alone, you're like, well, great, I'm here. Now it's time for bliss. You know, the process, it's the beautifully broken process of putting it together with grace and reverence and joy. You got to walk that way. You have to. Life's too short not to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have time not to live in a state of joy. And joy is a choice. We choose the emotions. We choose the emotional experience. We. It's the only thing we have power over, how we react to the outside world. You know, and I know there's limiting factors. You know, and I know depression is real. It's a chemical thing. I know, for most of my experience now, it's funny because, you know, you would look at the story that I just told you and I've had people tell me this. They're like, oh, you had your parents pay for all that shit. Must have. Didn't happen. I lived with my brother while I went through chemotherapy. You know, I had a big tax return that year of like $1,100. that's what I had. My dad rented me a car. You know, he rented me a car called Rent-A-Rec, if anybody's familiar. Real low budget, like Chevy Lumina, 1996. Yeah. I had a car to go to and from treatments. I drove myself to a lot of my own treatments. Not that nobody would, but I wanted, you know, I wanted to do as much as I could to be in control of my own destination. Again, this is just sort of how I'm hardwired. So I whatever little I had, you know, I was always open to being resourceful. You know, I was always open to that idea. Like, where's the resource? And it was like after like surgery number two in New York City, I was like, it's so funny. It's all divine. I went on this date with this girl, probably met her on MySpace. when MySpace was sort of social media, dating, you know, I met this girl. We went on a date. She walked into my apartment. She said, "Why are you living here by yourself?" I was like, "Well, it's a railroad apartment. It's like there's two doors in the hallway. You got to circumvent one bedroom to go into the kitchen, right? You got to go around the hallway." And she's like, you should split this up in half. You should do this thing called Airbnb. You know, 2011, 2012. I was like, Airbnb, what's that? She's like, yeah, rent out a room. You know, live your best life. You'll make a little extra money. So I started Airbnb-ing. And I think within, you know, I split up the apartment. So I would go into the hallway every time I wanted to take a shower or use the kitchen or use the bathroom. Friends are like, that is so inconvenient. How are you dealing with that? I was like, well, the Airbnb in New York City, I'm doing one bedroom for $125 a night. Super, super nice, beautiful bedroom. Like, you know, I put a flat screen TV in there. Like I got them like, you know, gourmet coffee. I made it a real experience. Travel maps, you know, first month I'm making $2,800 a month extra on top of the acting gigs. You know, and I just started to go from there. I totally illegal, but I rented another apartment, Airbnb that. So, you know, that's, you know, I'm renting a rental. Whatever. I mean, you know, I
resourceful.
Well, you know, I was sick and it was generating me cash. So, you know, in my second year, I think I generated $80,000.
Holy cow.
Extra. So I Airbnb'd until January of 2019. You know, I bought an apartment that way. I put a down payment on an apartment that way. You know, and I paid for all my medical treatments, paid off all my medical debt. Everything I ever bought, I paid for quickly within 4 months using this rental economy. And when I bought my house, I bought a two bedroom and I rented out a room in my two bedroom. 400 guests from all over the country. I met people from all over the world. Israel, Iran, Pakistan, New Zealand, England.
That's, you know, that incredible.
Incredible. I have friends. They're still all my friends. You know,
dude,
they're still
your life
all
is a movie.
It's a crazy movie. So I, you know, again, hats off to Airbnb.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like, but I just started to look for everything, you know, and now now I'm into this, you know, now I'm in the biohacking world, you know, so I have all this tech, you know, I'll be honest with you. I use about two things that I've found to be really, really valuable for me. One is amp coil, which is, you know, it delivers frequency through a modified Tesla coil, surrounds your body in a magnetic field, use sound therapy through a tablet. It's pressing play on a tablet. You do these little boosting sessions. And for anybody that's in the know out there, the body's an electrical body before it's a chemical one. So when you can raise the magnetics of the body has the raw materials, the energetic resources to do what the divine immune system does. To do what the energetic body does. So working through things like brain fog and fatigue, it can be easier with one of these tools, you know? And then the other things I really believe in are like, you know, light. If you're not going to get out in the morning and use the first hour and a half of light, the light, it's called redox before you detox, redox potential. That first hour and a half of sunlight sets the body's systems on fire. And we don't get that anymore. So you gotta sort of hack it, right? There's this company I work with, Light Path to Wellness. They have a red light. Healing red light, you know, that gives you the right spectrums of red light. And you turn this thing on for an hour in the morning, I mean, even 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You do your supercharged meditation in front of it. You know, it's clinically proven to jack your testosterone levels up.
That's awesome.
You know, all these little, but it's all going back to nature. You know, you're using elements of nature to optimize your biology.
Sure.
So, and I'll get these, you know, I'll partner with these companies. And because I've seen it work in my body, I believe in it so vehemently, and I understand that it's never about the tool. The tool's kind of crap. I like that my friend Tracy Harrison, who runs the School of Applied Functional Medicine, she says, God is in the supplement.
Love
and
that.
When you pull something into your circle, to whether it's a workout, a relationship, a supplement, a healing modality.
Yeah.
You know, you put your faith, you research it, you read about it, you understand it. It's got to make sense to you. You know, there is snake oil out there.
Sure.
So look at that too. But when you really believe in something, you invest in it. And it's a working relationship with that tool. It's not about using the tool, waiting to get, when am I going to put this thing? Freddie, you told me I was going to get this light. You told me it's going to cure my illness. I don't feel well yet. I'm still waiting. That's crap.
Right.
You know, that's, I'm sure you experienced that with, you know, we could look at that with programs, yep. Coaching programs.
Yep.
You said this coaching program is going to be the answer. I did it. I'm not a millionaire yet.
Right.
You know, and it's tough. It's tough. It's the line between, you know, saying you've got to show up and do the work. And we have to put the right amount of, the right amount of responsibility on the material. Like, how much is your ownership? How much is on, you know, the material, the education, the information?
Yeah.
And we've got to meld those together to get that synergistic magic.
Yep.
Yeah. That's my truth.
So give everybody a successful mind tip that you could leave them with.
Mm.
Some gem that you have.
Yeah. Yeah. I have two. I have two.
Okay.
Remember, even in your weakest state, I said this a couple of times, in your weakest, most vulnerable state of being, you have the ability to be someone's restored faith in humanity. You always have, that's a power in your mind. You have the power to show up for somebody in any moment of the day. It can be lifting the corners of your smile, because that feels better to meet somebody with a smile. Feels yeah. really good, especially in this time of isolation. Go smile at yourself in the mirror. I promise you feel different. My other successful mind tip is to entertain the idea. I don't want to be prescriptive, because again, what do I know? I know what I know. Entertain the idea that we're here to have a human experience. And we can choose joy. We can choose, you can be humble, be empathetic towards other people having a human experience. Hate, rage, anger, it's going to make you contract. I see a lot of contraction on the internet.
Very much.
I'm not judging the internet. I'm
right.
not.
Believe it's just there. Me,
it's there. There's a lot of contraction.
Yeah.
It's fear. You know, we can look at scientifically how that drops your killer T cells and your immune function. But when we're in that place of fear, the world becomes very small. When we walk into a place of empathy, love, and understanding, the possibilities are endless. And
expansion.
You can cultivate that. You can cultivate that in the morning. You know, look up an I am meditation. I am love. I am powerful. I am gracious. I am open to opportunity. I am open to the best possible version of myself stepping into reality today. And you do that in the mirror, and all of a sudden you're going to see the clues show up, and you just got to follow the clues. And so it is, you know, life is a game. This works in every single spectrum. There's nobody that's exempt.
True.
And the only reason I can say that is because I've been the person in my eyes. I'm like, there's times I was such a sad piece of crap when I looked at like my health. I could have said, oh, I'm hurting, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. Life deserve. I deserve a year of everything working out for me fair. Life isn't fair for anybody, which makes it fair for everybody. And that's truth. No, it's not fair. It's not. And that sucks, but that's a truth that's really helped me along the way. So there are a bunch of tips in there, but that's my short answer.
Where can people find out more about you?
They can go to, obviously you can listen to the Beautifully Broken podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. I'd love that. People can go to, I have a site called freddysetgo.com, which was my friend in Central Park. She's like, your business should be called Freddie Set Go. It was like this, we laughed and giggled. I was like, that's what it's going to be. So on Freddie Set Go, you know, I have a coaching page. We can do a consult. I'm doing much less of consulting, and I'm building out a team that works how I work, because it's always a time thing. What I'm learning is the more and more expansion we come into, I don't have any more time.
Yeah.
So I can always, you know, do a one-off with someone, but a relationship, moving someone forward, it's never about the information. It's about coaching. It's about holding up a mirror and saying, here's what you keep doing. What I'm challenging you with is see how we can get a different response by a different action. So that coach, I believe in coaching more than anything I've ever believed in my life. There's such high value in it. That's why we see so many coaching platforms. So we can coach on there, and I'm building that team out. You know, there's recipes on there, inspiring videos, all, you know, there's a chance to get in touch with me. You know, I'm manifesting speaking somewhere in the world in the next year. Some more. I'm speaking at the One Habit to Beat Cancer Summit. That's coming up in May.
Great.
You can look that up. There's a book on Amazon. I'm a contributor in that book. It's on the bestseller list right now in that category. So that's going really well. And that's pretty bad. The other thing you can do is, you know, and I really believe in, I talk about the tech. If there's a link for a thing that has moved me forward on the webpage, it's on Freddie's Faves on that website. And I don't put things there. You know, there's other schools. If you want to learn how to be a functional coach, there's links to schools on there. If there's a red light that worked, that's on there. If there's a supplement that's really been a game changer, it's on there. There's not a lot. There's like 13 things. You know, one of the things that I have, like I've mentioned a couple times, is this company AmpCoil. And I really believe in the ability to change our level of wellness with vibration, with sound. It's there's nothing more safe, and it's really profound when it works. So I would love that to be a conversation at the dinner table and not be a head turner. You're like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
That's witchcraft. Yeah. It's really not witchcraft. You know, there's a company using electronic fields right now, two different currents of electronic fields to stop the division of cancer cells called NovaCure. They have a better efficacy, just as good as the standard of care using frequency on brain cancer and small cell lung cancer, which are untreatable.
Wow.
So people are doing this all over the place. There's so many cool companies. You know, the AmpCoil is the one where it's accessible. You're going to bring it in your home for the price of a very, very cheap car for less than like $4 a day. So that's I would love everybody to go check it out. You could be like, oh, it's crap, doesn't work for me, or it's weird. Or you can be like, oh, what a neat conversation to have. You know, because we're coming into this world of like where we're seeing things on Star Trek that are real. We'll see more and more.
Yeah.
We'll see more and more of it. We'll see more and more of it. But the body, again, the body's an energetic body. And I think that's the biggest theme that what we've talked about and what you preach is like your vibration, your energy. You want to be open to new experiences, making more money, attracting things. Mind that energetic body. That's what meditation does, yoga does, good food does. So I would inspire people to reach out to those resources and, you know, just check it out and shoot me in a message if you want. I'll always get on a call with somebody, you know, and awesome. This time I love talking to people. It's probably twice a week I'm on with somebody Scandinavia, Israel, that's really sick. And I'm like, I'll point them to the right resources. That's what I'm doing so far.
Well, I want to thank you very much for bringing your very special light to the world. Your courage, your optimism, your spirit, and everything that you're giving. Like it's fantastic. And it's been a real honor to interview you. So thank you very much for that.
David, the honor was mine. You're so amazing at what you do. It's a true gift.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Take care, my friend.
Namaste.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.